Klal Yisrael regarding, well, we got different interpretations. Preview. Let's first translate the words literally. Heref me'af. Heref means to release. Relief from anger. Number two, va'azoyv chem, abandon wrath. Number three, al tischar ach lehorea. Do not imitate only for evil. What does that mean? So according to the Mitzvot Tavid, we are discussing three different types of people, three individuals. There is an individual who is af, in a state of anger. Number two, there is an individual that is molei chema, and there is an individual whose goal in life is to do nothing other than evil. We're dealing with three types of people. And what is the difference between the person who is an angry person, an af, and person who is molei chema? I do not know. But the Mitzvot David says there are three different individuals who we are being advised to stay away from. This is like business advice. This is not a matter of Musar. This is not the Nistil Sisharim. Stay away from certain types of people. According to Rashi, that's not what it means. Rashi says we're dealing with midos. A person should not engage in activity that will lead him to become angry, and a person and bring upon him the wrath of Hashem. So there are really two fundamental differences between Rashi and the Mitzvot. According to Rashi, the word af is a reference to a person, a person's emotion. He's full of anger, and chema in this context is Hashem's anger. So af is man's anger, and chema is Hashem's anger. Okay, so the two words can basically, according to Rashi, mean exactly the same thing. They both mean anger. The only question is from whose perspective. Is it from the perspective of man, or from the perspective, or is it man's anger, or is it Hashem's anger? And the second major difference between Rashi and the Mitzvot is that we are discussing activities. We're not discussing people. Do not engage in activity that will ultimately lead to Hashem getting angry at the person. That's the second part. And activity that will cause a person to become frustrated. And then the third part of the pasuk, according to Rashi, He doesn't explain. He mamish doesn't explain. Ach and al tischar. I guess we have a right to assume that Rashi will agree with the Mitzvot David. Do not imitate those people who we have to assume now that let's assume for the sake of simplicity that at the end of the pasuk Rashi will agree with the Mitzvot that we're dealing with a person. Do not imitate people whose entire ambition in life is to do evil. Okay, that's a chazara of much of what we said yesterday. Now let's look at the Maamar Chazal on the bottom. On the bottom of the page it says, Ches hedef me'af ha'azoyv chema dorash Rabbi Yehuda bar Bizna b'shoa shenisrash al Moshe Rabbeinu min Amila bohu af chema. So this is already midrashic. Af and chema on the names of Malachi Hashores. Malachi Chavala, destructive angels. These two Malachim came uvilo uhu, and they swallowed him up. Velo shiru mimenu elo ragla. The only thing left over from Moshe was his legs. Miyod vatigach tzipayrot tzar vatichlis olas bina. Miyod vayiref mimenu the malach that they let go of Moshe. Ba'os eshah bikesh Moshe rabbeinu lehorgo. Moshe wanted to kill these two angels. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, hedef me'af va'azoyv chema. Moshe wanted to kill them, and I guess what it means over here is the word heref in this chazal means that Moshe wanted to. It's a euphemism. I'm not sure what it means. It's a euphemism. Heref means to let go and to abandon, which means the opposite. Sometimes when you have words, it's a euphemism. Means the opposite. Moshe wanted to destroy these two angels. The Yeshamrim, some say L'chemo HaRogoy, Shenemar, Chemo Ein Li, Ki Yogarti Mimneho Afi HaChemo. But the Gemara says, but it does exist. I was afraid of Afi HaChemo, that was later on in the time of Matan Torah. Trei Chema Havi, Hibo Seima, Gundo, the Chemo, it's the Gundo, the army of Chema, Avul Chema Atzmeiner. Okay, this is an incredible Chazal. There's a lot of great secrets here in this Chazal. The basic starting point over here is a Chazal learned that Af and Chema are the names of Malachi Hashores. They are the names of angels, destructive angels. And what it's doing over here is it's showing this Chazal that there's a relationship, an association between what happened when Moshe was recruited to be the shliach of Klal Yisrael, Pokoy Pokadeti, and Matan Torah. At the time of Matan Torah, if someone will ask you on the street, what does the shlichus of Moshe, when Hashem came to Moshe and in the burning bush and said, Moshe, I want to recruit you to be an agent, to be the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, what is the common denominator between that event and what happened at the time of Matan Torah? And the answer is, don't you know? Both of them are associated with opposition. It was opposition. And the opposition came in the form of Af and Chema. When Moshe went to Mitzrayim, he went back with his children and his wife, and he was Nisrashel. He did not do on his child, I think it was Gershom, one of his children, he did not perform Bris Milah. And because of that, two government agents from the FBI showed up at his front door, and their names were Af and Chema, and they wanted to destroy Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe went to Shemayim to receive the Torah, it says in the Pasuk, Ki yogoriti mibnei ha'af ha'chema, he was afraid of those same two men in dark suits with an FBI badge. Okay, there was two different members of the Pamalia Shalmaila, the bad guys, part of Rabachol, part of the deep state, and their names were Af v'Chema. They tried to cause Moshe Rabbeinu grief at the time when he went on his mission by killing Moshe, and they tried to stop Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of Matan Torah. So the question is, obviously both of these concepts have some similarity. If he's showing up at your front door, are the same two Malachi Chavola. Okay, so let's read one more time very quickly to get the clarity in this. One more time. Pasuk Kain Likudei Shas. Over here, Pasuk Ches, we learned Pshat. We learned that. Now we're learning over here a Drush. And Heref Me'ava Zoiv Chema. Now, Heref means to be released. To be released from Af and to abandon Chema. It seems that the way the Medrash understands this is when you eliminate something, that is the ultimate release. You're being attacked by Af and by Chema, and you want to release yourself from these villains, so the ultimate way to release yourself from them is to obliterate them. So it appears, if I'm not mistaken, the Medrash is translating the word Hedef and Azoiv to mean elimination. Moshe desired to eliminate Af and Chema. Did he succeed? So the Gemara says that there's a contradiction. In one place, it seems to indicate that he did succeed. He did succeed, and it doesn't exist anymore. At least Chema does not exist. In another place, it says that it still does exist. And the reconciliation is, there is that Moshe did kill this angel called Chema, but there is another one that has the same name. Or Chema was the ringleader; he was the head of the mafia. But the chayolim, but all of the associates, they remain. So I'm going to read one more time very quickly. Darash again on the bottom page, 330 on the bottom of the page. Darash Rabbi Yehuda bar Bizna. Bishah. Moshe Rabbeinu min Amila. Moshe was lazy. Moshe did not do Bris Milah on his child. Bo afachema. Hu afachema to Malachi Chavola. Shnei Malachi Chavola. Ubilo uhu. And they swallowed up Moshe. Velo shiru memenu el raglav. The only thing that was left coming out of their mouths were his feet. The regel is associated with Bris Milah. Tzipora was a very wise woman. She realized that because the legs are still left over, it must be a simen hashamayim, that the reason why her husband Moshe, the Chassan Damim Lamulais, is because of bris milah, which bris milah is associated with the legs. Miyad immediately vatiach tzipor tzar vatichves es aspina. Miyad vayidef mimenu. At that moment in time, that was the trick, and these two malachi chavola no longer had permission to destroy Moshe. They let go. Vayidef mimenu. They let go of Moshe. Ba'oisa shah bikesh Moshe Rabbeinu l'horgan to kill them. Shenemar heref me'af va'azoyv chema. Moshe wanted to release himself from ever having to do with this creature. And he wanted to abandon. And the ultimate way you can release yourself from ever having to deal with these monsters is by thoroughly eliminating them. The Yeshem, some say, he succeeded. L'chema harogah, he killed him. Shenemar, it says, chema ainli. Chema doesn't exist. But it says elsewhere, oh, we see that these monsters reappeared. They reappeared, they came back to haunt him. They came back to reappear the Talmud Matan Torah. The Gemara answers, there are two malach aval by the name of chema. Another answer is, no, Moshe did succeed killing chema, but when we find that chema came back at a later point in time, that was not the ringleader. That was the army that was still around. That was the Gunda.
Yeah, the same matters when it says Vamayim Lohem Choma and it's spelled Kosa, they say Vamayim Lohem Chema. The Gemara mentions that. It says Vamayim Lohem Choma.
Okay, I don't know if it's the same matter. Right.
Because it's a reference to Chema. I'm just.
They're saying the Chema was there, the Malach was there, the Gunda was there to destroy because of Pesel Micha. Very interesting. I don't know. The chema aval chema atzman. Okay, so that is the medrash, and what it does for us again is it shows that there is a connection between matan Torah and bris milah, and that's not a kasha because Chazal say that without bris milah a person has no siyat d'shmaya in learning Torah. Bris milah there are different memory Chazal. It's asher kodas imam bris. Bris milah obviously is the covenant of Klal Yisrael, Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Hamin V'Nas Lanu Estarosai, the bris, the chosenness of Klal Yisrael is expressed in these two things, in Torah, Hashem only gave us the Torah, and obviously bris milah Hashem was karas only with Klal Yisrael the bris. Okay, and there's a lot of nice drush about Kishem Shnichnas Lebris Ken Yikonis Le Torah. Okay, isn't that what we say by bris milah? The same way Shnichnas Lebris bris milah Ken Yikonis Le Torah. Why? What is the connection? Why now do we need Torah? Teretz says because there is an association between bris and Torah. Okay, obviously, this needs much more understanding and depth to understand the connection. But here you see another similarity between these two in the fact that both of these events of not performing bris milah and in receiving the Torah, who shows up at the front door to make trouble? These two malachi chavolo called Af and Chema. That alone is in the relationship.
What is the source that quoted from?
The source is Gemara Masechta Nidorim Daf Lamed Beis. Talmud Bavli.
Okay.
Rav Menachem. Ki yogorti bibnei ha'afa ha'chema. Ki Hashem wanted to destroy you. Okay, so he's saying that saying Stama and Torah, that was the Chet. Moshe went to Shemayim and they worshiped the Egel.
Oh, right,
so it's after the Chet of Egel, which you're right, I'm really, really jumping ahead. I'm really going a little bit expanding that. It's the Chet of Egel. It was when Klal Yisrael was Nisrasha, let's put it like that. What I'm trying to say is Af and Chema came to attack Moshe when Moshe was Nisrashel in Bris Milah. When Klal Yisrael was Nisrashel in Kabbalah Satorah. Because Moshe was in Shemayim receiving the Luchos, and Klal Yisrael were Nisrashel. They were lazy, or they were not 100% with the program because they started to worship the Egel when Moshe is bringing down the Torah. How could you go worship the Egel because Moshe is 6 hours late? Bring the Torah. It shows that you don't really care about the Torah. If you really care about the Torah, you would give Moshe the benefit of the doubt. You would wait a little bit longer, another day, until to see what's going on. So there's a hasrashlus in Kabbalah Satorah. Fact is that they worshipped the Egel. They just didn't have any patience anymore for this. And Bris Milah. And in both of these settings, Moshe, there is the appearance of Af and Chema. Okay, now let's go further. Pasuk Tet says ki mireim yiko. Oh, these say very good. These two
means to release. If I'm holding something in my hand,
you're right. These two things.
I'm just released as a fair. I'm not holding it strongly, so it falls down.
Okay.
Lazov is to let it. Well, I'm going away from it.
Even after you are.
The same thing.
Okay. Excellent. These two you find elsewhere. They go together. Pasuk Tes ki mireim yikoreisun v'koyvei Hashem hema yirshu aretz. Okay, this is a very beautiful pasuk. Those the evildoers will be cut down, and those that yearn for Hashem, we say today, kavei el Hashem chazak v'yamis libecha v'kavei el Hashem kuf vav. Kavei means to hope. Those that hope for Hashem hema yirshu aretz. Now the koyeda. Now in Navi it says in Nevim. This is Kesuvim. This is Tehillim. It says the word twice. Is it the koye or the koyvei? Okay, that's a very big topic. And the truth is, there's a whole shiloh. The Mesorah is. We have this in the Haftarah. It says it twice in Nevim. Okay, I don't remember all the details, but here it's Tehillim, and there's a nafkamina. There is a nafkamina. What exactly the word means. Now, by the way, what is the word, the shorish of the word kaveh el Hashem, kaveh, hope? What's the shorish kav? What's a kav? A line. Kuvavei is to hope. Okay. So then that's a part of the shaila. Is it koyeh? So look, if you look at this word, and you don't have the vowels, how would you read it? Would you look at the vav as a cholam, as a really a vowel, ko, and then the yud will be koy. I mean you would really need another yud, the koye, or it's vikoyve. Okay, we'll come back to that soon, hopefully. Right now, let's go a little further. Ki mireim, those the evildoers. Ki mireim yikorei sun. Now, this is a continuation of the end of the previous post. The end of the previous post include ach lehoreya, people who have only one goal in mind, and their goal is to do evil. These evildoers, the end will be, they will be cut down. The koyvei la Hashem, those that yearn and hope in Hashem, hema, the opposite, the yirishu, or it's they will possess the land. Pasuk Yud, the od ma'at v'ein rosha, be patient. If you notice, there's a lot of expressions here in this pasuk describing the goal of being patient. Just a little bit more of v'ein rosha, they will no longer be an evil person. V'hispoinanto al mikoymoy, and then when the rosha is gone, you will contemplate on his mikoymoy, v'einenu, and lo and behold, he's gone. What happened? How could he remember all those days they were talking about this Meshuggah, that Meshuggah, and all of a sudden these days, you don't hear about them anymore. They're gone. The Espinanta, you will reflect. In this context, where the Lord, the Espinanta means you will reflect on the Mokum of the Rosh, where the Rosh once stood, and isn't that amazing? He's gone. Yeah, on the other hand, we're going back and forth, we're vacillating between the Rosh and the Tzaddik. Va'anovim yirshu aretz, the humble will inherit the land, period. The his anugu al roiv shalom, and the humble, they will take delight on the abundance of peace. Pasuk Yudbeis, zaymim rasha la tzadik, the rasha muzzles the tzadik. Now the lechor of the word zaymim is going on the tzadik. The rasha silences the tzadik.
That's what it means.
Zoymeim Rasha La Tzadik.
It means to plot or conspire.
Okay, there are different interpretations we have to see. You say the word Zoy means to plan, a machshav is to plan. The Rosh of Zemama is a muzzle. A muzzle, which one of the Mepharshim says that? To think. Okay, right now we'll learn, I think I saw somewhere the word Zoymeim, maybe it's more of a drush. It means to silence. The Rasha silences the tzaddik. He cancels his social media accounts. Okay, but Rabbi Chol doesn't want to say that now. He wants to say the word zoh means to think, machashava. It means to plan and plot. What does the Targum say? The Targum says choshev.
One other thing. In the previous pasuk, There's a well-known phrase, the meek shall inherit the earth.
The meek that come from this. Obviously it comes from this. Absolutely. Okay, Zoymeim Rasha La Tzadik, the Rasha plans and plots against the Tzadik, V'chorek Olav Shinov, and gnashes his teeth. He puts his teeth together, and he goes like that as an expression of mockery and scorn. Now let's see these psukim together, so I will Pasuk test and go through the Mepharshim here in this Pasuk very quickly. Pasuk test, let's go look at the Metzudas of it. And Pasuk test, Ki Pasuk test, Ki Mreim. Soif on page 330 in the Mitzudos David. Soif Hadavar Yikarsu Hadashom Avil Hamakavim Lashem Yeshur. It's the end will be that the wicked will be cut off, but the tzaddikim, those that yearn for Hashem, will live forever. They will possess the land for many days. Pasuk Yud. V'yod Ma'at Af Ki Rasha Matzliach. Even when the Rasha is Matzliach, Lo Hayil Lizman Rav. A Rasha success is not forever. It will be short lived. In a short time, the Rasha's tenure will come to an end. He will cease to exist. And then when you will attempt to contemplate, to reflect, to think about where is he, we disappeared. Yud Aleph, Ava Anovim, Aval Anovim Yirshu Oretz, Li'orech Yomim, V'yiyu Mi'unogim B'roi V'shon, they will be delighted, enjoy an abundance of peace. Zoymeim, Harosha, Choshev Ro'al, Tzadik, V'kitzpoi, Chodik, Lavshinov, the Rasha plants evil on the Tzadik, and in his anger, he gnashes his teeth as a way of making litzonis. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Tes. Rashi pasuk tes ki ha mireim, the evildoers she'ata reitzata matz lichim, that today you witness and you observe their success. Don't worry, it's short lived. Heim yikarei soon they'll be cut and od maat kishet tamtin od maat tiraki ein harasha, they're gone. This by nant al mukamay v'histak v'tis takel al mokam shayisham v'enenu ki meis v'yavat choyrek kumo v'yach. They gnash their teeth. And Michal, you have a good old French translation for us over here in this word. You're on mute. Michal, you're on mute.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Right. So we say gnashing the teeth, right?
Yeah.
It says a I'm trying to remember. I don't recall offhand what the French word for teeth is, but it's a strange word meaning gnash. To gnash.
Okay, whatever we say, you put your teeth together and you make sound like it sounds like a dentist. Do we have a dentist here in the house?
Two.
I know.
At least two.
Okay, all right, so here we go. To grind your teeth as a way, it's as an expression of mockery. Mockery against, we have it in the Kinnis, this pasuk, Chorek Olav Shinov, is a very popular expression in the Kinnis of Tisha B'Av. Let's look at the Malbim. Okay, the Malbim, pasuk, Yud Aleph, Va'anovim. Na'alim mimenu b'shtei ele, they are locked up. Let's see, na'alim mimenu b'shtei, let's see, aleph behasmodas hatzlochosam, livsoiv shem yirshu aretz, labasav beish hatzlochosam, lo tiyah hatzlocham miduma. The anovim are the opposite, in two respects. This is an interesting idea. He's saying that the psukim over here are coming to contrast the tzaddik versus the rasha. Number one, the tzaddik can sustain his success. A rasha, wickedness is short-lived. Although we see wicked people in front of us, they seem to have a very long tenure in this world. But in the big picture of things, the rasha'im's success is short-lived. In contrast, the tzaddikim, the anovim, their success is behasmada. It is sustained continuously and it endures. The second is the beis shaslochasam lo tiyeh hatzlocha miduma. The success of the wicked is imaginary. It's imaginary. They have to ever go listen to they're always looking to spin bad news, to redefine terms. It's not a recession. We've changed the dictionary term of recession. You always see when people are not successful, so they're always looking to spin it in another way. Because their claim of success, of wicked people, their claim of success is imaginary. So the only way that you can shove it down someone's throat is through spinning it. People who are successful don't need to spin terminology, don't need to give long press conferences. When you're successful. It's not imaginary. When something is imaginary, you have to go and create a whole portrait. You have to go and struggle to explain that really, although the price of gas are $5 a gallon, it's not really $5 a gallon. it's really something else. When the price of gas is $2 a gallon, you don't have to explain anything. People are happy. So wicked people, their success is in the mind. It's imaginary. It's miduma. It's imaginary. Tzadikim, it's not imaginary. It is real. So this Imam over here has come to emphasize, and that's what it says in the Pasuk, which over here he just brings out the point much better, is the contrast between a tzaddik and a rasha is, number one, rasha'im, they cannot sustain anything. Their path in life is unsustainable. Tzadikim, their path in life endures. Number two, Rishoim, when they claim that they're successful, it's in the Olam Hadimyoin, in the imaginary world, and they'll always be bending backwards to try to justify and try to create a picture of their imaginary success. Whereas Tzadikim, it's not.
So the difference is that Tzadik uses his brain, and the Rasha uses brainwashing.
Okay, if you want to say it like that. Okay, so just to review this pasuk one more time. Okay, pasuk Yud Aleph, va'anavim na'alim mimenu b'shnei eile. Now, I don't know what is the word na'alim? Anyone know what the precise meaning of the word na'alim means? We close up, like na'al, ni'ila sachag. We separate, we distance ourselves from the Rasha in these two facts. Number one, the pasuk over here is discussing the wicked, and now we're closing the book on the wicked. We are closing, we are being na'alim, we are closing the topic by showing that the tzaddik is the opposite. Number one, behasmodas hatzlochasam labasoif, is that the wicked, their path in life is unsustainable. Sheheima yirshu aretz labasoif, they will possess the land, but the tzaddikim, it's sustainable. It's behasmada, it's continuous, and they will have results. Number two, beis shahatz lochasam, the wicked, their success is imaginary, but the tzaddikim, it is not imaginary. Okay, let's go to Mamori Chazal. Mamori Chazal, pasik tes. I'm back on page 330. Okay, we say this the very beginning of Sefer Tehillim, that the tzaddik does not sit in the moishav of leitz. What does that mean? Elu tartiyos shaleitzim bochen donin dinin nefashos lohamis. This refers to their theaters where they sit and they judge dinin nefashos. They decide on who they're going to murder. Shenemar, he quotes Shenemar, sonesi kal mireim, I detest the assembly of evildoers, the imrishim loy eshev, the ein mireim el rishaim, shenemar ki mireim yikareisun. This pasuk is the source that wherever it says the word mireim, it refers to evildoers. And it sounds pretty similar to us. The word mireim is miloshon navra. Okay, and the pasuk yidav, v'anov yushu eretz v'his angu al roif ha-shalom, omar rabbi amarav, b'shvil arbo advar nichsei balibatim yotzim l'timyoin. There are four reasons why people lose their wealth. People suffer loss in business. What are the four different averus that a person suffers from in business? Here we go. Number one is al koiv shei schar sachir. A person does not pay his wages. You have a worker, and the halacha is you're supposed to work around time. It's a terrible thing. It's a horrible thing not to give wages. Schir yoim. You mechuyev to give the wages to a worker bo bayom. On the day that he works, to go ad boker, you mechuyev to give the wages immediately. Anyone that denies his worker,
talking about day workers,
a day worker, okay. Koyv shei schar sacher, you deny their wages. V'al oishke schar sacher, worse, you steal their money. You an oishke means that you manipulate the books. I don't owe you money. I hired you. You made a sign the contract. I pay you $1,000. And when the work is over, well, it wasn't really $1,000. It was only really $800. V'al sheporkin ol me'al tzavorehem. You porik ol me'al v'noisnin al chavrehen. Okay, so a person, you have a worker, it seems. I'm not, and you go and you take off the yoke from, you show favoritism. You lighten the load of the work from one worker, and you put that task on someone else. You make it hard for them. Okay, I know someone. My family, long retired, but he knew when he was in trouble, is when he used to have a staff. He used to work, and when he got the job, he did certain work, and they gave him, I think, four people to work under him to assist him. And then they decided they wanted to get rid of him. And the question was why they were doing it to him. He claimed it was anti-Semitism. Actually, when he sued them in court and he lost. But it all started when, you know, he had the job for many years. He had four people working under him. And then one day they told him budget cuts. We only have three people to work under you. You're going to have to do some of the work yourself. And then it went down to two. Then it went down to one, went down to no one. And then, not only that, they increased the load. They increased the load upon him. You got to do everything yourself. And it was basically, you know, their way of trying to fire. He should quit. Because he can't fire someone. You go fire someone, then you have to go deal with, you know, all the unions and the government and this and that. So you try to manipulate the system in a way where you make it so unpleasant for the person to work for you, and they quit on their own. So isn't that what it means over here? You poirek the all from one person and they put it instead upon you. When they hired you, the conditions were you're going to do the work and you have four assistants, and now when you start trying to make trouble, you poirek the all from one person and you put them in another department and you have to do the work. The algasus haruach, arrogance. The gasus haruach negekulam, arrogance is the worst. So we got over here four different, this is what Chazal said, and obviously they're going to go darshan from a pasuk. A person suffers a loss. Latimia means you go out of business when you deal with people and you do four things. Either you just don't pay the wages, or you deny that you owe someone money, or your workers, you're not fair in the workplace where you show favoritism. And to some of your workers, you give them a heavy load, and some you give a lighter load. And number four, you deal with them with arrogance. These are the four secrets of how to destroy a business. Avol banavim kosev anavim yirshu aretz v'sangu al roev shalom. Okay, he doesn't really explain it. Obviously, it has to be over here. A lot more here. Is it based upon? I don't see it based in this pasuk over here. This, you need to go to the Gemara to see this some more. Okay, let's do one more. Have me talmidav shel Aaron, be like Aaron, the students of Aaron Hakohen. Anav kederach shoyev Aaron shnemar bakshu es Hashem kol an ve'aretz v'yomer v'anavim yirshu aretz. Okay, I'm not sure what he means by that. God l'asham shenitan l'anavim shnemar v'anavim yirshu aretz v'zanu l'rav shalom gedolei hi anavim shenekol shparuch hu mayrish asoylem abo elu l'anavim shnemar v'anavim yirshu aretz. Over here, this Mamari Chazal is telling us all of the milus of humility. Humility. There is going to be Olam Haba, and there's going to be peace, different expressions of humility. Now let's look over here very quickly at the Mincha Shai on this unusual word of Vikoivei. Okay, Vikoivei, it says over here, and I'm trying to figure this out. Vikoivei behanoas havov, shehu ayin hapoal min kavei kuv vav hei, as Rav Kalman said. The shoresh of the word kovei is kuf vav hei. The hei has disappeared and has been replaced with a yud. The hayud simon horabim, and the word the yud makes it plural. So over here, behanoas havav, they. When you pronounce the vav with a tsere, what really in essence are you doing? No, you're just pronouncing the vav. Now let's understand. Let's go back to the basic rules of grammar. Every word basically has three letters that are part of the root, and the three letters are called the poal, pei, ayin, lamed. So here, when it says the vav shu ayin hapoal, the vav here is part of the root. What he's basically saying in this first line here is, don't make a mistake and say the word is koye. The koye Hashem yachalifu koyach. Those that, there is such a pasuk, there are two pasuk menach, one is vikoye and one is vikoye. And even the one that says vikoye, there's a machlokes amongst the medaktikim, is it really vikoye or is it vikoye? The Mincha Shai here says, make no mistake. Here in Tehillim, where it says the word vikoyvei, the vav is not a vowel. The vav is the ayin hapoa. A word has three letters. Pei, ayin, lamet. The vav is the second letter of the ikar shoresh. And a letter of the shoresh is pronounced. It's not there to hold a dot on top of it so it doesn't fall off. Right? Cholam. Why is there a vav? Because the dot on top may fall down. You need a support, a foundation to hold up that dot. What? Who's holding saying the yud is holding up? That's not the pshat. That's not the pshat. The vav is an ikar chelik of the root of the word. And therefore it demands pronunciation. And you pronounce it kovei. The hanoas avav, the hanoas means the pronunciation of the letter vav, shu ayin is the second letter of pei ayin lamed.
You have the same thing with eid and
sefer. Eid, in the Tehillim.
Four times in Nach, you have, it's eid bo sefer.
Only in Tehillim. In Nach, generally in Nach, it's always eid do sefer, the vav. Eid vosach. Okay, it's an exception. Almost every time in Nach when it says eid vosach and there's a vav, you do not pronounce the vav. It is a cholam. There are few exceptions, mainly in Tehillim.
In Nach,
they're mainly in Tehillim. Yeah, eid vosach. Okay, there you pronounce the vav. Okay, excellent. So here also, this is part of the shoresh. The hayud. Now, what's the and what is the shoresh? Kuf vav hey. And in this. In this example, the hay falls away, and we replace it with a yud to indicate that it's plural. The koye, all of the multiple people, the rabbim, the people out there in the world that have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those people are going to possess the land. Okay, behanoas hayud shu b'mokam ayin apal. Avol. Second line, the koye. Look at this example. He's saying over here in Yeshaya, and we learn this, Avo v'koye Hashem yachalifu choyach. There, look how the vowel, they put the vowels in. It's v'koye. Behanoas hayud, v'koye. Shibimokoim ayin apoal. V'havav, the vav there is l'meshech kivav, the vav is k'meshech. What is the vav? It's a vowel,
shomer.
And so look at his vocabulary. It's not a vowel. It's not the ayin apoyal. It's not part of the shoresh. It's there as a vowel, and he's calling a vowel. You have to know the vocabulary. Each one of the mepharshim of the kadmonim, They have a very different vocabulary to describe everything. Rashi always uses this language, a shofar hafuch, the last week's parsha. It's a shofar, which was the beginning of the parsha. Yisiv, no, so it's like not Yisiv. It's not, right, Elonei More. Acharei Derech. Acharei Derech. So it's in Rashi, it's not Acharei Derech. It's two separate words. It's Acharei, comma, Derech. And how do you know? Look at the Tamei HaMikra. Acharei is a Yisiv. It's a Yisiv. And Rashi says, because if it was one expression, then it should be a Mapach. What we call a mapach. And how does Rashi call a mapach? A shofar hafuch. That's how Rashi calls the mapach. Very like these term, this terminology we're not used to. So if you think that, not proud. Right, Rashi has, you gotta know, you have to know Rashi's vocabulary. Likewise, you have to know the Radak's vocabulary. And you have to know the Minchas Shai's vocabulary. The each one has this unique vocabulary, and you have to enter into their world and learn their vocabulary to know what they're talking about. Someone just published, I was legalizing yesterday, someone published now an incredible work on Sefer Michlol. Sefer Michlol, that's from the Radak. That's the Bible. That's where all the rules of vocabulary come from. You can go into a good bookstore, you could have a whole wall of books on Diktuk. And basically, every single one of those books is rooted in Sefer Michlal. So someone came along and took Sefer Michlal and wrote a very elaborate edition. Basically, you know, a critical edition. I don't say that. It's just an expanded edition. It's Kula Menukad, the whole Sefer, and bold and footnotes to open it up for the Hamoinam. It's an incredible work. A new edition of Sefer Michlal from the Radak. But in any event, over here, he's telling us the Mincha Shai has his own vocabulary, and he says, V'havav l'meshech kivav shoymrei. V'yud ha-rabim nafla me'amichtav. Kein kosav Radak b'feirush. That's what the Radak wrote. So the Radak over here is telling us a very important yisuk, because then we lay in this, and the people, they fight about this. You go to a shul where they like to fight, you have what to fight about. And that is when you lay in Yeshaya, I don't remember which haftar it is, when you lay in V'koyvei Hashem Yachalifu Choyach, probably 90% of the shuls they say V'koyvei Hashem Yachalifu Choyach. I believe in the art school, there's a contradiction. Some of the Chumashim of art school, some editions, they have a lot of Chumashim art school. They have many editions. In most of their editions, it says V'koyvei. I think one or two of their editions, it says V'koyvei. V'koye. And over here, the Mincha Shai is coming to tell us what the Radak says, that it should be V'koye. That's not popular. A lot of things that it says the Mincha Shai we don't do. A lot of things. The Mincha Shai says a lot of things. Everyone has the greatest respect, but after the day is over, a lot of things that it says the Mincha Shai we don't do. Like the Megillas Esther. He holds that our Megillas Esther is spelled wrong. At the end of the Megillah, I think there are two, he says there are two spelling mistakes, which is not accepted. The Olam, what he writes is not accepted. So over here it says v'hayud. Here he says v'koye Hashem Yechlev
v'koyach. Opens up a can of worms. If you allow something to change, it opens up.
There's no end. Okay, but you need a minute.
Torah asked me this year if he wants me to lay. When he laid out Torah, he wanted to know before he started if he should say v'koye or v'koye.
So what do you tell him?
Because I
learned the rule is whatever it says in the chumashim of the people when you look at the chumashim, you go to a shul, you have a controversial word issue. Look at the bookcase. What does it say in the chumashim on the shelf?
Right.
Whatever it says in the chumashim on the shelf, that's what you do. Don't be a chocham from the manashtan. I'm going to rain what I know to be correct, and all of your chumashim say differently. You know, then get different chumashim.
Unfortunately, I was in Beis Medrash and I was laying Lech Lecha, and the Chumash had a mistake. The Chumash that the Shul had, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the regular, the big Chumash, it had Vayomar when it was Vayomer. And I said Vayomer, and everybody corrected me. and I just waved them off. And I kept saying, Vayomer. And then I ran to this, when I got to the Lechvelia, they said, wow, what a nerd. I took a Mikros Gedolos Komishot. I said, how could you say, you saw where the Trump was, it can't be Vayomer. It had it because the Trump was on the Yud, so it couldn't be. I said, this is the yeshiva, you should know.
Yeah. It's strange, they had lo yishkoin be'ohalecha avla. How do you have a chumash in the shul that has a mistake? Okay, let's go further. Hanasa yud shibimokim ayin apal v'avav l'meshach k'vav v'shoyim. The yud aram, okay, this is what is in the radak. V'chein tzarech lehagia b'michlal yoifi. This is what you're supposed to, this you should correct. B'michlal yoifi, I don't know what that means, michlal yoifi. This is what you should, I guess he's saying over here, that if you make sure, go to all your chumashim and tehillim, and make sure that in the tehillim it says v'koy, that in Tehillim it says v'koy vei, and in Yeshaya it's v'koy yei. Uve perish radak midufus napoli. Okay, he's saying this is what it should be in the michlal. Okay, I gave different editions. The different editions of the sefer michlal from the radak. Ve'achocham ibn Ezra kosav al zed ditilim. He writes here by Til. We'll read it in a moment. Shehayutachas avav. The Yud is tachas of Yal Oisa Shabal Shabi Shaya Lekosav Mu'uma. Nira, what does he mean to say Shu Soy there? Behepuch, just the opposite. We look such a shocking thing. The Ibn Ezra holds that in Tehillim, here, or he calls it Tehillim, it should say Vikoyei. And in Yeshaya, it should say Vikoyvei. Hashem Yachalifu Choyach. So he's saying over here is that there's a machloikis between the Ibn Ezra and the Radak as to the correct pronunciation of the word, of these words. They have the same exact letters, and how do you pronounce it? Again, according to the Radak, here we pronounce it Vikoy Vey in Tehillim, and in Yeshaya we pronounce it Vikoyei Hashem Yachalifu Choyach. Ibn Ezra is just the opposite. In Yeshaya we should pronounce it Vikoyei, and here we pronounce it, there in Yeshaya we pronounce it Vikoy Vei Hashem, like indeed we have in most of the Chumashim, it says Vikoy Vei, and in Tehillim it should say Vikoy Yei. Ulufi Ma'ashem Nimsar. That's the question. The question is, what is the Shoresh? That exactly is the issue. What is the exact word? There are two different words. There's a word of hope, Kavei of Kuv Vav Hei, where the Vav is part of the Shoresh. There's a word, Kuf Vav He. The letters of Poal. Every single word has three letters in its Shoresh. And the letters are Pei, Ayin, Lamed. The Pei HaPoyal. The Ayin HaPoyal. The Lamed of Poyal. So here we have a word, Kuf Vav Yud. Many times one of the letters of the root is dropped. In a grammatical form, it needs to be dropped. So we have to go backwards and trace the word to its original, purest form. What is the pure word? If the pure word is kuf vav hey, and the vav is the ayin hapoyal, then the vav must be pronounced. It must be pronounced, and it should be vikovei. But if the vav is not the word, that's not the word, it's a different word, and the vav is not part of the original root, it's not the ayin hapoyal, but rather the yud is the ayin hapoyal, then there is no vav in this shoresh. And then it should be ko yei hashem. I guess the word would be kof yud yud. Would be kuf yud. I'm not even sure what the word is. Let's see further. The second yud is just a suffix. What? So therefore, what would then be the word kav? It would just be It would be kuf yud is koi. Kuf yud. What is the other word? Okay, let's go for a natural. Let's see. Ufi mash nimsa b'mikra gedoyla shalanu hacha v'hasan. Nira de osya chavosei. The Mincha Shai is siding with the Ibn Ezra. Okay, the Mincha Shai is basically pointing out that there's a machloikis between the Radak and the Ibn Ezra. And he's taking sides. He's telling us that he believes that the Ibn Ezra is correct because that is the Mesorah. He says, Lufima Shenimsar B'mikra Gidoyla. I believe he's referring to the Mesorah Gidoyla. There's something called the Mesorah Gidoyla and the Mesorah Kitana. I always promise you one day we're going to do this. We're going to go through this topic. If they don't have this, this is obsolete. If you take out the old Mikrois Gedoilos Chumashim, which almost don't exist anymore, they don't exist, on the side of the page of the old ancient Mikrois Gedoilos, there are two different columns, and it looks like Greek. It looks like someone splashed ink on the page, and you have a collection of these very mysterious letters. And one is called the Mesorah Gedoila, and the other is called the Mesorah Kitana. These are sacred traditions. And if you know how to decode these letters, which Mirchem one day we have to do, it's telling you exactly how many times in Tanakh does this word appear in this grammatical form. And there are two such works that have been done, and this guarantees, this technique is the guarantee to preserve the Mesorah. If you know that this word appears in Tanakh exactly 7 times in this form, then you go and you check the entire Tanakh. It is a technique of making sure that the Mesorah will be perfectly preserved. And we have two such works, the Mesorah Gedoila and the Mesorah Kitana. And for whatever the reason is today, in all of the new editions of the Mikros Gedolos, it has disappeared. It's mamish non-existent. I don't think there's anyone who prints today a Mikros Gedolos that includes in it these mefarshim. It's a shame why the article that is so comprehensive would do it and put it in the back. Okay, I could understand you don't want to go put it maybe on the page itself because no one's interested in this, but at least for the sake of a comprehensive product, it's traditional. It's traditional to put it in the back in teeny little letters, you know, to put together. I do remember seeing a while ago, a few months ago, I was beagle-izing. I do remember seeing someone published. It's a specialty item. They published a new edition, just a whole edition of the Mesorah Gedoila, I think, a whole volume of the Mesorah Gedoila with footnotes and explanation and a hakdama. To know it's an incredible piece of work. Someone went and took the Mesorah. People are looking to do new things today and wrote a whole Sefer. Possibly. Someone wrote a whole Sefer on the Mesorah Gedolim, Mesorah Kitana, and it's a chavala that we don't even have in the back, in the few little pages, in little letters, on the whole Sefer, the Mesorah. So over here, the Mincha Shai is coming to be Machria, Ulefima Shenimsa B'mikra Gedoila, which I believe he refers to the Mesorah Gedoila, Shelanu, Hocha here in Sefer Tilim, and there in Sefer Yeshaya, Nira, the Os Yechavo say that the Ibn Ezra is correct. So that would then mean that in Shul, when they learn the Haftar from Yeshaya, Perik Mem, when they learn that? I don't remember when they learn that. And they say, V'koye Hashem Yachalifu Koyach, it would be correct to say V'koye. Yet in most of the Chumashim, it says Vikoyvei. And some people get very worked up about this. If you say Vikoyvei, they're not going to like it. I once heard many years ago, an old timer, that he was a big Baal Medaktik, and he said in the Altaheim, pre-war Europe, they were mocked with to say Vikoyvei amongst the experts. The experts, they held that in Yeshaya, it's Vikoyvei, not Vikoyei. The Mincha Shai clearly disagrees, and he says that the Ibn Ezra, even though it's taka what it says in the Radak, in Sefer Michl and the Radak really is mamish, you know, the authority. You can't play games here. The Radak is the authority of all grammar, and he says it's the correct is Vikoyvei, and here it's I'm getting all mixed up now. Here it says Vikoyvei. And there the Radak says it should be, let's go back over here. And there it should be let's go back and read one more time, because a lot of beautiful yisoides here. I want to do this one more time, because you get to learn this too often, this thing, I think it's the only two places. These are the only two places where you have this word. Let's just read one more time. You have a lot of beautiful yisoides. Read one more time. Here it says, V'koyvei, behanoas havof. The word behanoas means pronunciation. Okay, that's an important word to translate in the Minhag Hashay. You pronunciate the vav. V'koyvei. Make sure you hear that sound like a rabbi. Yes, we said the eid vo secha. Okay, you have to pronounce the letter vav. And therefore, because the vav is part of the root, every word has three letters part of its root, the pei, the ayin, and the lamed. And this vav is the ayin apoyal. Shu ayin apoyal. And what is the root of the word? The root is kuf vav hey. The pei apoyal is the kuf. The ayin apoyal is the vav. The lamed apoyal is the hey. The hayud. Now in this pasuk, the hey has disappeared. That's not such a kasha. And instead we replace it with a yud. Why? Because it's a grammatical form. There are seven forms of a word, and we want to write it in the word of the plural, referring to the multitude, the many people who have faith in Hashem. V'ayud simin harabim avol v'koyei Hashem yachalif v'koyach. What it says in Sefer Yeshaya, the famous pasuk, those that have faith in Hashem will be refreshed. There, behanoas hayud. There, the vav is not to be pronounced. That's a different word. That's a completely different word. We have to define what that word means. There, the vav is not part of the root. It's not the ayin apoyal. And instead you pronounce the yud v'koyei Hashem. Shibimkoyim ayin apoyal. The vav is just called lemeshech, a vowel. The vav is just a meshach. Over here in his vocabulary, it means a vowel. Kivav, like the vav of the word shoymere. There's no vav in the word shoymere. The vav is not a part of the root. The vav is a vowel. The yud harabim nafla me'amichtav. And the yud of the rabim nafla me'amichtav. And there, in that pasuk, v'koyei, the yud that connotes plural in Sefer Yeshaya, that is absent. It disappeared. It's self-understood. It's not in the pasuk. The vav of the koyvei is a vowel. It's ko. And then the yud is part of the shoyresh itself. Oh, how then do we connote that it's plural? It doesn't. It's not there. It's self understood. It does. There is no yud of rabbin, because the yud is the actual shoyresh, v'koyei. And in fact, whoever said that, maybe what he's saying over here, whoever said that it's plural when it says in the Yeshaya v'koyei Hashem yachalif uchoyach, whoever said in that pasuk we're referring to a rabbin. And if you do want to say it refers to a rabbin, then that's rabbin. That is rabbin. So you have no choice. Okay, but maybe the word yachalifu is coming to shed light on the word vikoye, because the word vikoye itself would not on its own indicate it's rabbin. In our pasuk, where we are saying that the vav is part of the shoyresh and the yud represents the rabbin, the word in and of itself is revealing that we are describing the rabbin. Because here the vav is kovei. What? Right, but you don't even need the hema. Just the word alone automatically is teaching you the rabbin because of the yud.
It's clear.
The yud. No, but in the Chanami, you will come to the same conclusion. Okay, in the Chanami, the context will reveal if we are describing a yachid or a rabbim. But what about the word itself? Does the word itself reveal if we're discussing with a yachid or a rabbim? So it depends. In this pasuk, the way the Radak understands, the vav is the ayin hapoya. The vav is a chilik of the shoresh. So what's the yud doing there? Who needs the yud? Really, there should be a hey. Why is there a yud instead of a? Oh, the yud is the rabbim. That's the way the construct of the words. But in Sefer Yeshaya, it's a different word. There, the vav is not part of the shoresh. The yud is part of the shoresh. So we need the yud for the word itself. Koye. So how do you know that the word is b'lashon rabim? You don't. From the context of the pasuk yachalifu, you know that it's the rabim, but not from the word itself. Kevavo, the fourth line, the hayur rabim naflo me'amichtav in Sefer Yeshaya. This is all according to the Radak. Kach kosav Radak bepeirush. This is what the Radak says. There you should say the koye. V'chein tzarech lagia b'michlal yoifi. And you have to correct. I think what he's saying over here is that if you go into, pull out your sefer michlal, take it out, and if there's a mistake there, correct it. B'michlal yoifi. Uv'perish radak midfus napoli. Okay, these appear to be two different editions. Two different editions of the sefer michlal from the Radak. You better make sure that it says it there correctly. That's what's supposed to be. It's supposed to be here in Sefer Yeshaya Tehillim. It's supposed to be Vekoy Ve, and in Sefer Yeshaya Yeshaya Vekoyei. That's what the Radak says. However, the Achacham Ibn Ezra Kosel Valzeh, just the opposite. The Tilin. In our Sefer Tilim, Shehayud Tachasavav. The Yud is in place of the Vav, meaning the Yud is the Shoresh. And therefore it should be pronounced not like what it says in our Tilim, it should be Vikoyei. V'al Oysa Shebe Yeshaya Loikosav Mu'umo Nira. So the Menach Hashaya is coming to analyze that it appears that the Ibn Ezra holds just the opposite from the Radak. That the correct pronunciation in Sefer Yeshaya should be Vikoyei. It should be Vikoyei. And here it should be Vikoyei. And Ulafima Shanimsa Bimikra Gidoila, according to the Mesoira Gidoila, Shelanu, Hocha, here in Sefer Yeshaya and there in Sefer, here in Sefer Tilma, there in Sefer Yeshaya, Nira. The Osya Chava say like the Ibn Ezra. So according to the Mesoira Gedoila, what should you do when you lane the Haftorah and you come to the pasuk of Yachalifu Choyach? You should lane it Vikoyei Hashem Yachalifu Choyach, because that's what it says in the Mesoira Gedoila, and that's what the Ibn Ezra says. However, that's not what the Radak says. I'm saying the other way. I'm all getting all mixed up. It's the opposite. The opposite. It's a machlokes. It's a machlokes b'kitzur. It's a machlokes is what should you do, and the, not so b'kitzur. Right? But there's a machlokes between the Radak and the Ibn Ezra, and the Mesoira Gedola supports the Ibn Ezra, but according to the Radak says here it should be v'koyvei, and there it should be v'koyei. According to the Radak. However, he's machliya the Menach Hashaya, follow the rules, follow the Mesoira, and therefore take out Yitzhak, take a marker into the article to Tehillim and change it from here in this Vikoyvei, it should say a Vikoyei. And in when you lay in the Haftorah, read it like what it says in the Chumash, Vikoyvei. That's according to the Radak. Okay, so this over here.
Okay, so now
we have to go deeper. So I remember once upon a time, I forgot this. I didn't realize we were learning this today. I forgot this, but these are the only two places in Tanakh where we have this word. And I saw a write-up on this, a very beautiful write-up on this. And there's one thing that's being left out. Obviously, there are two different words. If it's going to be like a kuf vav hey, that means yearn. Then there's another word. There's a completely different word. And the word is kuf yud. Kuf yud is what does kuf yud mean? So what's the third letter? Not every word has three letters. But obviously, according to the other misurvik, koye, the vav is not part of the shoresh. So what then is the shoresh? Kuf, the shoresh then becomes kuf yud. And what's kuf yud hey? Kiyo, kuf yud hey. So what does it mean, kuf yud hey? This kaveh, kavo, is to yearn. And then there's another word called kuf yud hey, koyo. What does that mean? It sounds also a word of hope, a word of hope. But obviously there's a difference between two different types of hope. Well, both words...
It's the same thing. Ibn
Ezra says... Okay, look at Ibn Ezra here, yeah?
Yud tachat avav, Omer. Sometimes you replace vav with a yud. It's the same thing.
And we're worried from the fact that the first vav...
The first vav...
I'm not worried about being pickpocketed.
But what is it they change the meaning?
No,
it's the
same,
way I say it.
The meaning is the same.
Okay, so
but it's obviously a different route. He's coming to take issue. Is the okay? The
but it's a vav. The vav is missing.
Something in my mind. Something in my mind is I don't remember exactly, but the, according to one interpretation. Okay, there are two different, the kuf vav hey. So we like to translate as hope. But I think we're the word kav, if the vav is part of the shoresh, that alludes to the word a line, you drew a plumb line, a kav hamishko, correct? That's a measure, the kav, no, that's with the base. Kav lokav is with the base, not a vav. Kav means a measure, a line. Elokim asar es ha'adam yashar. Vehein bikshu chishbonos rabbis. Hashem made man straight, like a plumb line, straight. A person who's yashar, the koyvei Hashem yachalifu choyach. If you learn the word koyvei Hashem, the word with the you pronounce the vav. You really, the word kuf vav hey doesn't mean hope. It means yashus, like a calf. V'yosisa ha-yoshar v'hatoif. Yoshar is straight. Kav. To go on a straight path. Elokim osa es adam yoshar. V'heim bikshu chishmashos. People who are straight, honest people, yachalifu chayach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees these people who have siyata shmai, they will be refreshed. If you learn, you pronounce the vav, and the vav is the ayin ha-poal, the koyvei Hashem, honest, straight people without any connivering and rishis, they will inherit the land. But if you learn the koyei, not the kavei, that means hope. Kuf yud hey is kiyah. Or koya, I'm not trying to pronounce the root in its original form. Kuf yud hey means hope, yearning. Those who yearn and hope in Hashem, then they will inherit the land. But if you want to read it, kuf vav hey, kav, it means honest, straight people with no hang-ups, with no mishigasim, no krumkite. It's a completely different word. And the promise, it all depends how you read it. Is it v'koyvei Hashem yachalifu choyach, or is it v'koyei Hashem yachalifu choyach? If you read it v'koyei Hashem yachalifu choyach, it means those who yearn for Hashem will be renewed. If you read it v'koyvei Hashem, you pronounce the vav, it's the vav, it's a part of the shoresh. The shoresh is kaf. It means a plumb line, it means a line. People that are yoshar, are upright people. It's not a matter of having hope in Hashem. There are many words in the pasuk which tell you about hope. They will be renewed and refreshed. All right, I think this is very interesting, very fascinating. This machloikis, you learn about the Ibn Ezra, the Radak, the Masura Gedoyla Ketana. All right, we'll take a short break. Then we're going to learn about the Melech. Who is the Melech here?
Any early melons?
A melech has a sefer Torah.
What I take from this is that it refers to the Ebenezer as the Chacham, not the Rebbe. Because later on, you get the people who refer to the Ebenezer as Rebbe, but the Ebenezer didn't have a speaker. He was a
man that lived on his own.